Hello and welcome to the show. Here at the Thunderbolt, I tend to cover a lot of controversial topics from controversial points of view, and therefore some of the other folks that work with this radio station always appreciate it when I point out that while they may agree with the views expressed on this program, they also very well may not. And in either case, they are in no way responsible for that content. Therefore, if my show makes you want to start hurling blunt objects at people, then make sure you choose the correct target, which in this case would be me, not them. And now, on with the show! Broadcasting from our secret underground studio in Olympia, Washington, it is time for... Thunderbolts! Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day, you turned on your radio, and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice! Here it comes! Yes, kids, the Thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news, I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes. So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets. It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse. So even the apocalypse is going to have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee.
Here I come to save the day.
Hello and welcome to the Thunderbolt for September 27th, 2019. I'm still on my working vacation. So I have another show from the archives for you this week. And please note there will be no activist events calendar for Olympia listeners this week either. I will be back next week with a brand new show for you. But meanwhile...
We interrupt this program with some more breaking news. In the same short few sad days that the world has lost David Bowie, Alan Rickman, and Eagles founder Glenn Frey, Ted Nugent continues to be alive. That's Ted Nugent... Still alive. Ted Motor City Madman Nugent. Still alive. And now, back to the program.
And now, Thunderbolt fans, I have... a Thunderbolt exclusive! I was just innocently sitting in my truck on the street in front of the Westside Food Co-op the other day, when suddenly and unexpectedly, I found myself the recipient of journalistic manna from heaven! I saw a chicken crossing the road. Yes, your intrepid reporter saw opportunity and leaped. I immediately launched an investigation into that age-old question, why did the chicken cross the road? Well, kids, here's the result of my in-depth eyewitness accounting. Evidently, there is something that lives in grass that is under a fir tree that chickens like to eat. And evidently, whatever that thing is does not live in grass that is not under a fir tree. My evidence is that after crossing the road, the chicken immediately made his way to the fir tree and then slowly worked his way around the tree, busily munching on stuff that was in the grass.
Then, after completing a circle around the tree, the chicken wandered off down the dead-end street and disappeared. So there you have it. The next time someone asks you why did the chicken cross the road, you now have the documentary evidence to answer their question.
The Thunderbolt would now like to suggest that you go yourself. It has reached the point wherein, if you don't have an FBI file, then you are not doing your civic duty. It is so very easy to get an FBI file these days, after all. If you would like to see what kind of information that your loving government is keeping on you, then you can go yourself. Yes, you can FOIA yourself. This comes under the Freedom of Information Act, or FOIA, wherein you can legally insist upon seeing any and all information that they have on you, or else hear the reason why not. I suspect that some of you may be very surprised. I recently reported that Jeff Bezos built Amazon by deploying ruthless cutthroat methods and undercutting everyone else's prices and paying no sales taxes and putting local retailers out of business all over the country. I reported that he operated literal sweatshops with horrendous working conditions for his workers right here in the United States, and that he had both purchased the Washington Post as a propaganda outlet, and that he had almost simultaneously inked a $600 million contract with the Central Intelligence Agency. Well, there's new news to report from the Jeff Bezos front. And this is a real shocker, kids. Bezos has revealed that Amazon has a secret laboratory in Seattle where he claims that over the last few months, Amazon has worked through and developed an eighth generation of drones that can carry 5-pound packages through the sky at 50 miles per hour, and he is now asking permission of the FAA to unleash them.
Oh, jeez. Another day, another crisis. Oh well. Time once again to gird our loins and go into the breach to do some battle and to kick some serious ass.
Now, the most amazing thing about the coverage of this event is that it is barely there. And what is there seems to be accepting this as some sort of novelty or joke or something. Ironically, the most extensive coverage I could find was on the local Seattle weekly, The Stranger. A few things you should know about this. There was recently a Seattle woman who spotted a tiny drone hovering just outside her bedroom window as she was changing. And Ms. Surveillance State herself, Senator Dianne Feinstein of California, spotted a drone inches from her face just outside her window. A woman in Sydney, Australia, recently found a drone hovering just outside her kitchen window, and the police explained that it was a real estate agent drone. A real estate agent drone? That's just what we needed! And now, after all that, the mad scientist Jeff Bezos announces that he has been developing several generations of drones in a secret undercover laboratory in Seattle, and he is now ready to unleash his swarm of drones into our skies. All of this coming shortly after inking his $600 million contract with the Central Intelligence Agency. Really? Does that completely creep out anyone besides me? This seems like the plot of a very bad B-grade movie. Except this is for real. The media machine recently reported that a computer had passed the Turing test, meaning that 33% of people could not differentiate between the computer and an actual human during online chats. All of the media machine suspects previously reported this as fact. The fact that the breakthrough came on Turing's birthday made the story all the more poignant for those with human sensibilities. But it turns out, the test was rigged. And the evidence was completely bogus. So instead of a computer passing the Turing test, the media machine instead flunked their own Turing test. They could not differentiate between a real story and a fake story. And now it is time for a brand new Thunderbolt feature I'm calling Heartbreaker. The listener should be aware that I'm going to hurl some heavy-duty thunderbolts now. And if you are the type who gets upset by heavy thunder and lightning, you may want to take this opportunity to switch radio stations.
Well, since my baby left me, I found a new place to dwell. It's down at the end of Lonely Street. That's a heartbreak hotel. I've been so lonely, baby. I've been so lonely. I've been so lonely, baby. I could die.
So the first heartbreaker is a place called Nuba.
The bellboy's always crying. The ladies dressed in black. They've been so long, all lonely. Street, they'll never, never, never come back. I've been so lonely, baby.
The Sudanese government is trying to root out some insurgents in some mountains.
I could die.
They have adopted the same policies that employed by the American forces in Vietnam.
Well, I don't care what those people say. I know where that jive is at. But one thing I do have on my mind, and it terrifies me too.
or making sure that you kill all of your enemies by simply killing everyone who happens to be in the area.
And you, sir.
Yes, the Sudanese government is conducting a massive bombing campaign up on these mountains that is aimed at anyone and everyone who happens to be there. This has created a massive human rights crisis. But since, once again, the victims are black Africans, and since Sudan is a, quote, friend of the American government, this bombing campaign is being completely ignored by the media machine. The only reason anyone knows anything about it is because it is not being ignored by a Western reporter named Ryan Boyette, B-O-Y-E-T-T-E, who happened to marry a Nubian woman a few years ago and who now happens to live in Nuba. Though he chose to evacuate his own family, he has also chosen to remain on the ground himself so that he can report on the brutal bombing campaign. Go to NubaReports.org. That's N-U-B-A Reports. And learn about yet another massive outrage that is being completely ignored by the media. And for our next heartbreaker, we have Honduras. Shortly after taking office, Barack Obama emulated his self-declared role model, Ronald Reagan, by overthrowing a popular and democratically elected government.
So if your baby leaves you, got a tale to tell. Just take a walk down Lonely Street to a heartbreak hotel.
He replaced this government with a bunch of right-wing, mass-murdering School of the Americas butchers.
I bet we're so lonely, babe. I bet we're so lonely. I could die.
Then, Obama further emulated Reagan by lying to us about it. With American taxpayer support, the Obama-backed coup has transformed Honduras into the murder capital of the world. And one of the most dangerous countries in the world for journalists, environmentalists, and union organizers. Now, for our next heartbreaker, we have Iraq. This last week, I made a joke about how no situation is ever so bad that it can't be made even worse by American military intervention.
Once I had a little girl.
Events have since proved a classic case in point.
Sometimes I think about her.
Saddam Hussein originally worked for the Americans.
Not really there.
He had no problem at all torturing and murdering any and all political opposition.
With memories to call.
He had no problem with killing millions in a thoroughly savage multi-year war.
I can't live without her. But trying all the time.
And then he used chemical weapons that he purchased through the CIA against his own people. That said, under Mr. Hussein, as long as you avoided politics, the average Iraqi enjoyed one of the highest standards of living in the Middle East. Iraq was a wealthy and vibrant country with top-notch educational opportunities and with near equal rights for women. Iraqi scholars are right up there with the best of them. and the social services and the health care were most excellent. But then, Saddam pissed off his American sponsors and they turned on him. George Bush literally lied us into an illegal war in the face of the largest protests in all human history. Whereupon the United States proceeded to spend several hundred billion dollars converting Iraq from a prosperous, industrious nation into a smoking crater. They destroyed the physical and social infrastructures, killed hundreds of thousands, and displaced literally millions. Many of these displaced became homeless refugees in foreign countries. And all of the most educated and resourceful Iraqis who managed to survive and that had the will with a little to leave Iraq did so. What the Americans left was a completely devastated third world country ripe for looting by the oil companies and by American contractors. And ripe for radical hatred of the West in general and the United States in particular. The titular head of Iraq is an American-backed dictator that everybody who actually lives there hates, even though he belatedly stood up to the Americans and refused to sign the Status of Forces Agreement that gave American soldiers complete legal immunity for any crime they committed upon Iraqis. Before the Americans came along, there were no radical Islamists in Iraq. Saddam Hussein hated them. He actively and successfully persecuted them with great vigor. Now, thanks to the devastation and chaos brought by the Americans, radical Islamists that I have heard described as making Al-Qaeda seem moderate by comparison, have seized control of northwestern Iraq, and they are seriously threatening Baghdad itself. In addition, the Kurds have seized control of their section of northern Iraq. Obama is helpless. They are so desperate, they are now teaming up with our old buddy Iran to try to stop these Islamist forces. What this means is that after all the money, blood, terror, horror, and devastation we spent on Bush's vile war, the very thing that this war was supposed to prevent, and a thing that hadn't actually been happening in the first place, is now actually happening for real as a result of the American actions. There is the definite possibility that radical American-hating Islamist forces are going to take control of Iraq. The American-trained Iraqi forces threw down their weapons and ran away en masse. They left all of their American taxpayer-funded arsenals and all their American-funded weaponry behind. They left all of their banks full of American taxpayer cash behind. This means that your tax dollars just funded and armed this insurrection. And there appears to be absolutely nothing that anyone can do about it. Obama's utter impotence in this situation is equal to both his and George Bush's responsibility for creating it. And while it is maddening in one sense, in yet another sense, his helplessness is rather heartening, as this is yet another indication, along with our stopping of Obama's Syrian madness in its tracks a few months ago, that the war machine is not nearly as omnipotent as it pretends to be. And for our last heartbreaker, we have Africa. Now that the ominous and baleful eye of Mordor, the eye of the American machine, has fallen upon Africa, seems just And since the war on drugs is becoming so unpopular in Central and South America these days, then the drug warriors have decided to expand the war of drugs into Africa. Yes, the West Africa Cooperative Security Initiative will reportedly bring the same model used in Central America and Mexico to 15 African countries. Evidently because it has been working so well in Central America and Mexico. So I previously warned the Africans they better head to the hills when I heard about the formation of AFRICOM. But now, they better start building bomb shelters and stocking up on non-perishables if the war on drugs is coming to their neighborhood. Now, they not only have their very own American military command, but Africa will also soon be again reaping the profits of America's war on drugs. Now, guns, money, murder, and mayhem will begin contributing to Africa's economy and culture. Now, the CIA will have an in to begin conducting their unique brand of foreign policy by murder, bribery, torture, and coup. On a serious scale and upon African soil. Yippee! How happy for the Africans!
And the Thunderbolt will be back after a quick station break. I'm a heartbreaker. The views expressed on the Thunderbolt are my views, and no one else's. Those views do not necessarily reflect the views of any of the stations that air the Thunderbolt, nor anybody that has anything to do with any of those stations. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. Yes, we've got a hell of a show for you this week. But first, I need to issue an official Thunderbolt apology. Last year, I was innocently hanging out in my truck in front of the West Side Food Co-op when I stumbled over what I considered at the time to be journalistic manna from heaven. Yes, I spotted a chicken crossing the road. I immediately launched into a full and in-depth investigation to determine once and for all the age-old question. Why did the chicken cross the road? Now, while I did indeed discover the chicken's rather innocuous secret, upon publishing the information, I immediately received harsh criticisms from listeners for doing this. In fact, one listener responded thusly. I long to live in a world where a chicken can cross a road without having its motives questioned. And after deep self-reflection on my part, I realized that this criticism was fully merited. Yes, I found myself wondering how I would react were some giant omnipotent being to suddenly begin intensely scrutinizing a very personal act in my very personal life in order to splash my activities all over the World Wide Web. I also found myself wondering what the chicken would have felt about me hovering around watching its every move had it known that I had eaten a chicken breast from the deli at Fred Meyer just the day before.
Therefore, I officially apologize to the species G. gallus of the genus Gallus of the subfamily Phasianae of the family Phasianidae of the order Galliformes of the class Aves of the phylum Chordata of the kingdom Animalia. May you cross many roads before that great final crossing into chicken heaven. Or a bucket at Colonel Sanders, as the case may be. I believe it was Benjamin Franklin who said that nothing in life is inevitable except death and taxes. As far as I know, the 1% has not yet figured out a way to beat death. I hear they are diligently working on that, though. I wonder if they'll share if when they ever figure that out. Anyway, while they haven't beaten death, taxes are another matter, and they aren't sharing any of that. Quite the contrary. So rather unusually in the world, residents of the United States pay taxes to three different levels of government, i.e. federal, state, and local. So when people speak of the tax burden, they are usually referring to federal taxes, but the fact is that while just over half of American taxes are taken in by the feds, just a little less than half are taken in by the states and the locals. Thus, the local tax structure is almost as important as the federal one is. And in some ways, local taxes are even more important, since the average Joe can influence how local taxes are spent much more than he can influence what the feds do. Now, the federal government depends overwhelmingly upon the income tax. In theory, this is a progressive tax, which means that the more you benefit from our system, then the larger share you pay to maintain it. I.e., rich people pay a larger share of their income to this tax than poor people do. However, so many loopholes and exceptions have been carved out of the federal tax structure that the progressive aspects of it are more theoretical to non-existent than anything real. Now, when right-wingers say crap such as the top 1% alone carries over 45% of the federal income tax burden, quote, keep in mind that this same 1% owns over 90% of everything that there is to own. Their number also fails to account for payroll taxes, which only working people pay, and which, in many cases, cost them more on their tax bill than their income tax does, but whatever. Now, some states also have an income tax, but even those states depend mostly upon the sales tax, which is a regressive tax, which means that poor people pay a larger percentage of their income than rich people do. Now, our own state of Washington depends largely upon the regressive sales tax, and much more on the state of Washington in just a moment here. Now, counties and municipalities depend mostly upon property taxes, which is another regressive tax, wherein people are taxed upon the value of certain items of property, such as their land, their car, or other various this's and that's's. Thus, basically, the feds tax your money coming in, the states tax your money going out, and the locals tax whatever is left over. However, there is a large body of property that I will get into in a moment that no one taxes. And I don't think it will tax your imagination to guess who owns that property. anyway, as a result of our regressive tax structure, the national average works out like this. The bottom 20% of income pays 11.1% of that income to local governments. The average middle income earner pays 9.4% to the locals, whilst those 1%ers that we all know and love so well pay only 5.6% to the locals. However, here in Washington State, we have the honor of having the most regressive tax structure in the entire country. Yay for us! We're number one, kids. And how was this amazing feat accomplished? Well, here's a hint. Our state has been firmly under the almost complete control of the Democratic Party for many years now. Yay for the Democrats! Thanks to them, we have a more regressive tax structure than even such progressive bastions as the state of Texas and Mississippi. As a result, you pay 17% of your hard-earned cash to our state, while Bill Gates pays 3%. Yes, kids, Washington is the home of the welfare billionaire. The Democrats also just recently bent over for Boeing, as Boeing extorted the largest state tax break in American history. Boeing, after enjoying record profits again last year, just received a bipartisan tax break that is more than the state of Washington spends on the entire University of Washington system. So, while the feds tax what you make, the states tax what you take, and the locals tax what you keep, when it comes to property, not all property is equal. As far as taxation purposes go, yes, while things like land and cars and retail or wholesale inventory are taxed quite heavily, there are three types of property that no one taxes. Those being stocks, bonds, and cash. And here in the state of Washington, the Democrats have arranged things so that the type of property that middle-income people are likely to own is heavily taxed, while the type of property that rich people are likely to own is barely taxed at all. What a good deal for the 1%. We pay and they play. So you see, in this era of extreme polarization, here in Washington, both parties have achieved a bipartisan consensus. Both parties feel that we can fix our problems by robbing from the poor and giving to the rich. Yes, kids, Reaganhood lives again. Now, unlike many ultra-wealthy people, Bill Gates actually earned his wealth by inventing, though some say stealing, but whatever, and manufacturing, and he did personally see to that, a very useful product. I use his products every day myself. Yay, Bill Gates! Go, Bill, go! However, I'm pretty sure that Mr. Gates uses the courts a lot more than I do. And I'm pretty sure that his trucks wear out our highways a lot faster than I do. And I'm pretty sure that Mr. Gates greatly benefited from our educating his workforce for him for free. And I think Mr. Gates could damn well pay his fair share for the cost of maintaining the system that allowed him to do what he did and the system that made it possible for him to become so wealthy. However, the last time that an income tax was debated in a state Senate chamber, I had a hard time preventing my head from exploding when I heard a Republican senator a senator from the state with the most inequitable tax structure in the entire country, and talking about a bill that represented a major attempt to start correcting this inequity, I heard this elected official criticize the income tax bill because it was inequitable toward the 1%. Dude, really? Cry me a frigging river. Why don't ya? Yes, kids, Americans hold an estimated $15 to $20 trillion, with a T, in stocks and bonds. The vast majority of these are being held by the 1%. So when it comes to tax reform, quote, I think it might be strategically wise to concentrate first on this vast trove of untaxed wealth. Even a tax rate of 0.5% on all of this, quote, intangible wealth would produce a flood of boulah into our cash-strapped county and city coffers. However, taxing this money might be considered to be inequitable to some, such as the Democrats and the Republicans, for instance. So, kids, I'd say it's time to get to work. This week's calendar, coming right up. Yippee! The world sure is weird, isn't it? And that is it for the news and commentary section. And since I don't have a calendar for Olympia listeners this week, I'm going to fill out the rest of the hour for everyone with some music. I thought about filling it all with Thunderbolts, but I thought that might be a bit much. In fact, some people think this whole show is a bit much. But be that as it may, this week's music, I'm going to feature a band that used to blow my mind in Seattle back in the 90s. This is Trillion Green. Enjoy!
That was Boris. And before that was the tune called Gasworks. Both those tunes were from a Seattle band called Trillion Green. And I play the flute myself, and I've been trying to figure out how that guy does that on that flute ever since I first saw him play down at the Pike Place Market back in the 90s. So that's it for the show this week. We'll see you next week. Peace. The Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way, is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt, nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, you should send an email to dana98501@gmail.com, and we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day. And a quick note here. The Thunderbolt is on Facebook, where you can find links to the show and to the show notes, or you can go to radioforall.net. That's radio4all.net, where you can also find the show notes, as well as a year's worth of downloadable episodes of The Thunderbolt.
Thank you very much.